Thanks, Chad. Good morning. How are you? Good. Man, we had a great time at our parade last night. I'm not going to lie. I loved waving at everybody. I felt like the mayor of Belmont Shore. Do we have one? No, we don't have one, but I could be. Could you guys nominate me for that on the next ballot? Oh, it was so fun. And I'm so proud of our worship team because what they put together and the work that it took, and it was kind of fun because they actually didn't get to see kind of everybody's response because you kind of heard the music as it came, and it was really a miniature version of what our Christmas Eve service is like. So there's horns, it was a full band, and it was really, really fun. And as our float went by, you could just see people like, what? It was really, really cool. And so then I got to wave to them and then just, let them know I'm here for them if they have any needs for the city. And, but it was really great. But like Chad said, you know, we're getting ready to go into our Advent season. And please be thinking about Christmas Eve. You know, it's commonly known that Christmas Eve and Easter are really the easiest services to bring someone along. Even if someone doesn't have a tradition of attending a church or they don't have a place, people are generally open to going, you know what, I want to be a part of church on that day. And just be praying, like, God, who do you have for me to bring? You know, and just ask them. And keep those people in prayer that maybe God would soften their heart and maybe they'll experience what we all experience through our church. And so, I just wanted to be thinking about that and praying about that. And at the Women's Cookie Exchange, now I have a complaint. Every year, all the best ones get taken. So I feel like you should set some aside for your husbands. And designate that. And I'm sorry, that does mean an extra dozen of cookies, but I'm sorry, I need them. Every time Anna brings them home, I'm always like, oh, she's like, well, all the best ones they're gone already. And I'm just taking whatever, you know, whatever was left over. And sometimes it's like a half of a cookie. I'm desperate. I'll eat it. I don't care. But ladies, please think about that for next year. The husbands would greatly appreciate it. We would do anything to get you to that cookie exchange. Okay? That's my plea. All right, let's pray. God, we love you. God, we thank you so much as we are getting ready to enter into the story of the birth of your son. And God, there's so many things like we could say every year that will pull our direction every which way. But God, as we take this time to focus and anticipate this Advent series, this Advent season, God, just be with us as we come along in the series and be with our hearts as we cover these three very important topics before Christmas Eve. And God, I ask that not one person really leaves the same in how they think about you and your love, your passion, your hope for humanity and what you see us as your children and what you see this world as. And God, we thank you for sending your son on that day that really broke the dawn, broke a new way for the dawn to shine through, God, in a dark world. And I thank you, God, that each one of us, we can't help but just tell you thank you, thank you, thank you for having the opportunity to experience light when we had found ourselves in darkness. May God help us continue to take that light out and be ambassadors in this season when it can be difficult. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in this new series, and we'll be doing it for 3 weeks, and then we'll have a Christmas Eve message. But we just titled this series very simply, and we wanted to take a look at the birth narrative and really take a look at some of these very key words that you see throughout Scripture and you see as promises throughout Scripture, and you see these displayed in Christ. And so we thought, okay, let's take a look at faith, hope, and love, right? We want to take a look at these three things specifically through the birth narrative to kind of unpack what does the birth of Christ mean? What did it mean? What did it crack open in the spiritual world that is transforming the entire world? And so we're going to take each week by week going through each one of those, but really we want to see the Christmas story through the lens of faith, hope, and love. And we'll read parts of the Christmas narrative, and then we'll teach that quality, that aspect that we want to look through that lens on. And for me today, we just thought, okay, let's just look at first, if we're going to look at a story, let's look at the story of faith. Because when we talk about faith, you know, we put our faith in so many different things. We put our faith in things that we have no idea that are, if it's going to give the outcome that we hope for, right? Have you guys ever been driving and you put your faith in your GPS? And your GPS has misled you? And then you're circling around and you're circling around and you're yelling at your GPS. And I've had this so many times where I literally have just turned it off and I'm like, I'm never using you again. I'm going to go to Waze. And then I go download Waze and Waze deceives me. And then I go to Google Maps and I'm like, hey, you've deceived me. And it's interesting because we will put so much trust into something that really isn't always proven. And when we talk about faith, you know, and particularly God's faithfulness, that's what the Christmas story is God's faithfulness has shown up. And at the end of the day, I want to really present this whole piece of it's worth putting faith in his faithfulness to us. And so really what I mean, you're talking about a lot today is faith and the faithfulness of God. And that's where we're going. And I think particularly is that, you know, in the light of how much we put our faith in so many other things that let us down, but his faithfulness is consistent. It never lets us down. It always keeps its course. It always stays the same. And when I was thinking about faithfulness and I was thinking about consistency and I'm thinking about even just this Christmas season, and I started asking this question that might lead us into what we're talking about today is, think about the moment where maybe, have you ever been forgotten? You feel like maybe you've been left behind. You feel like you've been forgotten. Like somebody missed something and it just inside, you're just like, has everyone forgotten me? Have you ever felt that way? Like, right, have you ever felt that way? Like, remember when you were a kid on Christmas and you were just hoping that either Santa or your parents like remembered what you have deeply desired, right? You are praying like, dear God, heaven above, please help Santa remember, right? Or please help my parents remember. And as a kid, and then when you opened your present, have you ever been so disappointed when you opened your presents that you cried? Okay, now I'm going to ask you to take a big leap of faith. Have you ever been so disappointed as a kid that you can remember that you actually cried? Oh, I did. Oh, who's that in the back? Thank you. Who's that? Was it Guy? Thank you. Man, that's why I love you, Guy. I remember that as a kid. I opened it up and I was like, thank you. I felt like I was forgotten. And my brothers are like, look at this. And I'm like, I hate you. And where are you, God? And I just, as a kid, you know, you're just hoping for that. Please don't forget me. How about on your birthday when you show up at work and you're just like, it's my birthday. Quiet. Oh, when's your birthday? Oh, mine's today. You know what I mean? Like you're like Michael Scott from The Office who gets his donuts and he's like, somebody bought the birthday boy donuts. You know what I mean? Like, I love that because it's like, we don't want to be forgotten. We don't want to be left behind. We don't want to be unseen. And I think about work. I've been in a few meetings before and I know I have accidentally done this to people who've worked for me. But it's happened to me where you pitch this idea and then you're in a meeting and then your boss is proposing the idea as if it was his idea. Have you ever had that? And you're just like, that's my idea. And when you're done, they're like, thank you, man. I couldn't have done that without you. And I'm like, you should have said it there. You were forgotten. Or when you're a parent. I haven't reached this stage yet. But I know some of you parents have, and I know some of you are in the phases now of being someone's child and you're growing up and you're getting advice from other people and they're telling you things that you're like, wow, that's so wise. And you go back and you tell your parents and they're like, oh yeah, so I was talking to so-and-so and they had said blah, 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 blah. And they're so wise. And your parents is going like, I've been saying that to you for years. Have you ever felt like that, parents? I've been trying to tell you. You feel maybe a little forgotten. The most I've ever felt forgotten was, and my mom listened to this, so I'm sure she's going to let me know if I have this wrong, but I remember as a child, very, very small memory of my parents and all of us went to the movie theater to watch, I think, Mom, tell me if I'm wrong, it was Bambi. But I feel like Bambi was so old that maybe I'm not that old, right? Where's Jim and Sue? I would have asked Jim. He would have known this. And so I just feel like, I remember as a kid just walking out, and I remember getting distracted because I do have a little bit of an issue with that. My parents are walking out because they have four boys, and they're trying to wrangle them all at the door. And then I'm just like distracted, and then my parents laughed. And I was so young, and I remember just being like, oh no. Oh no. Everybody's getting out. Everybody's leaving. And I just thought, okay, here come the streets. And I'm sure it's not going to go like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone, right? I'll die right away. You know what I mean? I was just so scared and I was so freaking out. And then someone saw me cry. I don't cry that much. I know it sounds like I cry a lot. But as a kid, maybe I had problems. And so I was just freaking out and I felt so alone and left and offended that I was forgotten. How could you not forget your precious third child, right? And, you know, we can feel that way. And when it comes to God's faithfulness, I want to try to remind us that that feeling of feeling forgotten, you know, it's something we'll all feel, but in light of God's faithfulness, it really, honestly, you are not forgotten. You know, Christmas is the time to remember God's faithfulness, right, to his people. It's more than a cute baby. It's more than the wise men and the camels. It's more than Black Friday and Small Business Saturday and Cyber Monday and not Giving Tuesday. That's good, though. But it's more than that. And so when we kind of get our heads around the season, we have to remember. And this is why we do these Advent series, to prepare our hearts to celebrate the greatest thing that ever happened to this planet. The greatest gift God gave and a mark of his faithfulness and his promise to us. And that is to remember his faithfulness to his people. And, you know, I'm going to drive one point home most of the day today, which is you are not forgotten. No matter what life looks like right now, no matter what you feel like right now, no matter any circumstances that are coming your way or have already happened, you have not been forgotten. You have not been abandoned. And the mark of that, the greatest reminder, the greatest symbol you could ever have is the celebration of the day God said, enough is enough. I am healing this world in a real and a powerful way. We're all here because of that day. We all experience life and light inside because of that day, because of his faithfulness and the promise that he had made. And so maybe just let me get one thought and hear across is that Jesus' birth is a statement of his unending faithfulness. It's a statement he made. Like, this is it. I'm here. Everything I've been promising is happening now. And when we come back on Christmas and celebrate it, we celebrate, yeah, it's your unending faithfulness. It's not just then, it's now. It's more than just then. And Israel found themselves in this place so many times. Like, if you read the story of Israel, it feels a lot like our own faith journey, where there's times where it's really, really, really good. And there's time where you're like in a really, really tough place. And you're like, where are you, God? Have you ever been there? Where are you? And there's times where it's really, really, really good. And then there's times where it's, have you forgotten me, God? In Israel's story, if you read through it, I'll just give you just a few names. They're probably more of the obvious ones, which is Adam and Eve. You can go all the way to there of leaving the garden and going, are you going to forget about us? Are you going to leave us with nothing or without you? And God does not. He continues to go with them. Noah, building that boat, how the story goes is this, it's a story about his faithfulness in the midst of just circumstances that it feels forgotten, alone, abandoned. Or Jacob, we did a series on Jacob, where Jacob is someone who, even in his own hand, his own continual sin, his own rebellion against God, God continually reminds him when he's in a desert place that he is not forsaken. He is always with him. The slavery in Egypt for hundreds of years, and the people are begging God, where are you? And God brings a deliverer. And when he delivers those people into the desert, they go, we just want to go back to Egypt because we don't know if God's going to be with us. They didn't understand quite his faithfulness and his promises, right? And you go through through all the judges, there was times where there's faithfulness and they felt abandoned as a community or as a nation. Or the kings, where even the kings themselves would feel abandoned in the moment and the kingdom would be in difficulty, but it would be in rises and difficulty. And even in spite of their own sin and corruption and worshiping false idols, God did not leave them. And in the prophets, where they would have to say something really tough, like God's going to be silent for a while, but he's not leaving you. He will always be here no matter what. And in the exile, where Israel is taken over and these people are being taken captive by a warring nation and split and divided that country out. And God says, even in the midst of that or before it, you're going to go through something really hard, but I'm not going to leave you. That's the rhythm of the word. It feels a lot like that, very much like our Christian faith and our faith in God, because I do feel at times we have to continually remind ourselves, what Christmas will do is that, oh God, you're faithful. No matter what's happening right now, you're faithful. Help me, God, with the strength to put my faith and trust in your faithfulness. And I don't know if you ever complained to God before? Have you ever yelled at God? And if you think that that's not okay to do, I think he can handle it. I think he can take it in the midst of you feeling abandoned. There's a very real complaint that happens in the Bible, and he's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I don't know why, if I just identify with maybe his stature in life, I maybe identify with his lack of faith sometimes, but it's this character, his name is Gideon, and he has this very real conversation with God that I feel like I've had in a way with God when I felt forgotten by God. And God shows up, or the angel of the Lord shows up and starts having a conversation with him after they have been taken over, after they have been oppressed, after a nation has come in, and every time they create something good, the nation comes in and takes all their food and leaves them with nothing. And Gideon's in a really interesting spot because he's kind of like, he's the lowest on the totem pole in his family, and his family is the lowest on the totem pole in the nation. So he doesn't have a lot of power. Doesn't have a lot of mobility. And in Judges 6:12, let me read it. It should be up on the screen. It says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Now, this is how he starts. He starts with God with a statement of his faithfulness and a statement of how he sees Gideon. And those words he says, right, mighty warrior, they're not a pep talk. They're a reality because that's what God said. Gideon doesn't understand reality yet. And then he says, Gideon replied, and I really like this, verse 13, pardon me, Lord. Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why? Now, this is important why I underlined it. Why has all this happened to us? That's a hard question. Why, God, has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt, but now, right? The Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? I love that. Go in the strength that you have. And Gideon's going, Wait, you know who you're talking to, right? I got no strength. And he's like, yeah, go in that strength. I don't think you know me. I don't think you know when I say something, I'm faithful to that promise. And so, and he actually kind of challenges God on this. He says, pardon me again, my Lord. Gideon said, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And he has a few of these moments where he's trying to put God and God's faithfulness in Gideon's context. But God doesn't work that way. And so when you're feeling forgotten, you're feeling abandoned, it's easy to put God in our context, but he's wanting you to get in his context. He's wanting you to be a part of his story and his faithfulness. And he's ultimately asking, a few notes I took from it is why, Gideon's saying, why have you let this happen? And I've asked that question before to God on really hard things. Why have you let this happen to me? Why would you do this to me? And I'm getting outside of God's context, and I'm trying to put him into mine in the moments, although they're very important questions to ask and should be asked, and it's okay. But where have you been, he's asking God. And you don't understand, in this situation I'm in, I'm the least with power here to make a difference. So I'm lost. I have nothing. And God's like, now you go in that strength. Because you don't understand my faithfulness, my power, my strength. But maybe have you ever had one of those pardon me, Lord moments? I have a question to ask God, pardon me. I hear people saying all kinds of things that you do, but you don't do them for me. And I think it's completely acceptable to do that. I wouldn't stay there very long because it's important to get ourselves into God's context. But I understand how we can get there. Look at Jeremiah. Now, he's one of the prophets who prophesies about the exile, right? Bad things are going to happen to this nation. And they are not ready for it. And it is going to hurt this nation for a season because of their own disobedience. But God's faithfulness is still there. And this is what Jeremiah says. He says, dear Lord, and I would hope this would be my response instead of maybe Gideon's all the time. Dear Lord, my master, you have created heaven and earth by your great power, by merely stretching out your hand. There is nothing you can't do. That's a beautiful response to a guy who has to deliver very difficult news and walk a nation through a difficult time. And he's just going, there's nothing you can't do. God, I trust you even in this tough season. And I kind of start in that way for this reason, because it breaks into the narrative of the birth of Christ. Because Israel finds itself kind of in a situation similar to this, right? I would say Israel's about to enter its final season at this, you know what I mean, in this way of like, God, where are you? Kind of God. Question, are you present? It's final season of questioning, have we been forgotten as a people? I want to give you the last words that were spoken, that separate the New Testament and the Old Testament, right? The last words that were spoken to Israel through a prophet, Malachi, and he is going to let them know something that's coming, that's really important, that although they may forget or they may not see it, they may feel forgotten, it's coming, because when God says something, it does happen. And Malachi says this, he says, behold, this is God saying this ultimately, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Now, Elijah the prophet is not here anymore. So you have to understand, this is about this. There is a powerful figure in a way that he moved that is gone now in Israel, but this spirit, this power is going to rise again. And he's going to come before the day of the Lord, something very, very big. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. And so a heart turning is going to happen. And there's a promise being given, and they're going to know it when it shows up. They're going to feel it. But they're going to enter into a difficult season, but they have not been forgotten. And they enter into these hundreds of years of silence, people would call it. And all of a sudden, it feels like God shows back up on the scene, right? They're wondering, where are you, God? Because at this point, If you know maybe the time and the history, so much has changed since then in Israel. They've been taken over by the Romans, and they're not that kind. They tax them. They dominate them. It's they cannot break away from the rule. It's too big. They cannot revolt against it. And they've really kind of really desecrated a lot of very important things to them. And they've seen their whole world shift into something where they feel more and more powerless, kind of like Gideon. And all of a sudden, they're in a religious system also that has developed that has become very, very oppressive. And so they don't feel this sense of connectedness with God in such a way. There's a lot of steps to get to a place to finally where you feel like I'm good enough for God. And they find themselves wondering, I think, where is your faithfulness, God? Where are you? I thought you would never leave us or forsake us like you've promised. And where is this Messiah that you promised to liberate us, to bring us freedom? It's interesting. Chad's talked about this before, and he was reminding me of the Jewish Seder meal, which happens on Passover. And for between this time, for decades and decades, if not a century plus, the tradition was is as you were having this meal at Passover, the youngest at the table would get up, go out, open the door, reminding themselves of that prophecy that Malachi gave them, that Elijah was going to come back. And so they'd open the door, and they'd be like, Elijah? Oh, he's not here, guys. We'll wait till next year. It became this regular rhythm of, when's he coming? When's this promise coming? When's deliverance coming? And they open the door, and they do it every single year. But then all of a sudden, God speaks. And this is what changed everything. So the angel of the Lord shows up to Zechariah, John the Baptist's dad. And why I'm going to tie all of this together, because I really want you to see that when God says something, he'll deliver it. It may not be in your time. And you may feel forgotten. But don't worry, you're not forgotten. And these people felt forgotten, but they were not forgotten. And the world maybe have felt forsaken, but they are not forsaken. So he shows up to John the Baptist's dad. And he says this, that, talking about John, and this is from the angel of the Lord, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him, right, in the spirit of the power of Elijah. So here we go. Back on. We don't need to go to the door anymore and check, right? Things have changed. And he's going to turn the hearts of the father to the children, right? Quoting the prophecy, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready the way of the Lord's, make for the Lord a people prepared. And this was John the Baptist's mission, coming in this might in the spirit of Elijah that came in power and might. And they would see a display of God again that they hadn't seen in or even maybe forgot what the stories that had been told. And it's interesting because Jesus confirms this very prophecy himself. He says in Matthew 17, and the disciples asked Jesus, then why do the scribes say that first Elijah must come? Because they're still looking for Elijah. They're not thinking John the Baptist. And he answered, Elijah does come. He will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come. And they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. And here we go. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hand. Then the disciples understood. He was speaking to them about John the Baptist. And they realized, oh God, you do deliver your promises. You have not forgotten us. And Jesus is ultimately saying, like, hey, listen, my Father, he fulfills his promises, but he does it in his timing. And I know this is maybe a harsh word sometimes to hear because we want things like right now. We can't think about 400 years. I can't think about 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying? I have this thing that I'm in my life right now. I'm going through this phase right now and where anything that annoys me, I'm going to try to fix and take care of. Anybody like that? Have you ever done something so long, so many times that you're just like, why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep trying to shut the door when it's still kind of wedged tight and I just have been doing it for years? Anybody like that? Oh, I'm a procrastinator, so it's a gift of mine. It's a spiritual gift, actually. I procrastinate. And I had this sliding glass door in my, like, where my closet is at, and it would just, like, you know those ones on tracks that are just really annoying, and you're like, who made these? It's like those, It's like shades, you know. It's like, who made these shades? And you have to do these pulley things, right? And so I was like, finally one day, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna fix this, and I'm gonna just repair the whole thing. And it was so funny. Like, I just decided, like, okay, this time, you know. So I slid it open, and it's nice and smooth. And I'm not fighting this issue anymore. I'm not dealing with the issue anymore. And I think of it this way: is that like, why wait any more? You know what I mean? To just not deal with it. I don't want to procrastinate any more. And I think about this is that, why did I say that? I had a really good point there. I'm going to move on. It was really good. It was profound. It just got lost on my brain right now. But I think the thing is that in Jesus's timing, oh yeah, because we want to take control. In Jesus's timing, right? In God's timing, his faithfulness isn't on our calendar and on our clock. And so I want to encourage you today that whatever you're praying for, whatever you're believing for, whatever you've been hoping for, and if you feel doubt and discouragement, I just want to, as you're entering into this season, just remember that, man, God does fulfill his promises. And everything in the word that he's given as a promise comes to pass. And he will do that in your life as well. You do not have to be hopeless or feel abandoned. The second thing about this when we're talking about not being forgotten is God's promises are backed by proven record of his faithfulness, right? They're backed by it. I don't know. God hasn't given me enough reason to doubt when I feel like he's telling me something through scripture or when I read one of his promises. I don't feel like I have enough reason to doubt. I feel like his track record is so proven. Now, I don't know if you have ever experienced somebody who made you a promise and then you find out that they did not deliver on that promise. And then what you do, what do you do once that happens? What do you think of that person when that happens? Right? They're flaky. You know that they're not going to deliver that again. You kind of question it. If it happens two or three more times, you're like, when they say something, you're like, great. Can we get it in writing? Right? You know what I mean? Can we just, you know, like, can I get more than just this? Can we put a little bit of like money towards this? Or can we maybe like see some results? You start to question kind of the general integrity of who that person is. And we've all experienced it. But I will say this, that God's got a backed, proven record. By the way, that you're even sitting here right now experiencing God's gift of salvation to you, if that's what you've experienced, he's fulfilled his promise. You were once dead. You were once blind, but now can see. You have been resurrected with Christ. He fulfilled that promise, that you couldn't do anything to earn it. You could only receive it. So God is faithful. Even if you just look back into that. And I would say this, remember that no matter how dark it seems, as things can be tough, and I'm not talking about the world falling apart. I'm talking about sometimes there's just seasons you go through that are like, is there any light at the end of this tunnel? No matter how dark it seems, no matter how caught up we get, or no matter how burdened you feel, right? Ultimately, his faithfulness always brings light and salvation. It will always bring forth something new in your life. And sometimes some things, you know, have to go for a certain period of time for God to really grow something that needed to go away anyways, if it's been burdened or even when we're feeling forgotten. And so I feel like, man, I really want to keep that Jeremiah prayer. There's nothing you can't do, God. I really want to keep this mentality that you are faithful and you deliver and you will always deliver. And I really want to be like this next guy that meets Jesus as a baby. And he has this response that's so interesting because he sees and he's been hoping and he actually hasn't lost faith in God's faithfulness. And it's a guy named Simeon, and it's in the birth narrative. It's in chapter 2, verse 27 of Luke. And Simeon, right? He's a guy who the Bible says is faithful. He's righteous, been praying and praying and praying for Messiah. And he came into the Spirit, into the temple. And when the parents, Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the customs of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Do you realize what he said? I can die now. Can you imagine what Mary and Joseph heard when they heard that? I can die now that I'm holding your baby. I can die. Something amazing showed up. Everything I've been hoping for. I haven't lost faith in your faithfulness, God. I can go in peace now. My whole life has been fulfilled. And I think that that is such a powerful way to approach God's faithfulness, to not lose hope, even though it might be towards the end of your life you start to see some things. And he goes on to say this. He says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, and that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." And I think as we are looking into this season, I would say this: Jesus' birth means there's a God who remembers his people. If anything, there's a God who remembers his people. And so as we sit around and we gather around and we think about Christmas or anticipating Christmas, it's an anticipation of the fact that God's faithful to you and he will never leave you or forsake you. We will have seasons where we feel forgotten, but God has not forgotten you. He has not at all forgotten you. And the last thing I want to say before we end is this other piece, because it's putting faith in God's faithfulness. And so Jesus is that, allowing us to put our faith in Christ, and his faithfulness is the return to us. But God's faithfulness, and it's up here on the screens, God's faithfulness is worthy of putting your faith in him. And I was saying that about the GPS, but, you know, some of us have put faith in relationships that have let us down. Some of us have put faith in friendships that have betrayed us. Some of us have put faith in, you know, what would be maybe money, and we think that that will save us, and it doesn't. We put our faith in a lot of things, and if we walk it all the way out, sometimes it can be a fruit that betrays us, and it leaves us, so maybe at the end we might feel forgotten. But this season, we get this beautiful remembrance, is that putting our faith in him, he's worth putting your faith in. I have to read this last part of someone that we should definitely read when we're talking about feeling forgotten in the Bible. I know all of us won't relate to this yet. Some of us just because we haven't lived enough life yet. Some of us because maybe that season of time in our life is just long gone, and maybe it's hard to remember the hard times. But there's this character in the Bible, and his name is Job. And if you haven't read the book of Job, you can really identify with it at a very human level. And Job's conclusion at the end of his struggle, at the end of his loss, and at the end of all of his questioning, at the end of all of his suffering, he has this one statement he makes. And this is what he says when he's thinking about who God is, his faithfulness, in the midst of all the circumstances that he has. And I think he frames it right. Job 42:1. "Then Job replied to the Lord, 'I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you.'" I love that. That guy's been through so much. He's suffered greatly. "I know that you can do anything, no one can stop you." And he says, "You asked, 'Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance?'" Right? "And you asked, 'Who is it?'" And it goes on to say, "And it is I," he says. "And I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me. You said, 'Listen, and I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. I had only heard about you before, but now I've seen you with my own eyes.'" I love the way he approaches this. "I had an idea of you. I had a perception of you, but now I've seen you with my own eyes." And man, I tell you what, if you haven't been around a seasoned veteran of faith, please take the opportunity to get around someone like that. Because you're going to ask them, like, "Have you ever been through something like this?" And they go, "Whew, I used to think this, but I've seen what God does and it has changed me. I've seen him with my own eyes. I've seen his faithfulness with my own eyes. You may be going through a storm right now, but I've seen the other side of that in his faithfulness. But I'll be here with you." If you have not been around a seasoned veteran of faith or someone who's been walking in their faith for a while, I would encourage you to do that. Because they'll say, "But I've seen you with my own eyes, God. And here's what he says. I love this in response, because he's no longer putting God in his context. He's putting himself in God's context of his faithfulness. And he says this. He says, I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes, and I show my repentance. I was wrong, God. I had you pegged all wrong. I see you differently. And I see you as a faithful God. And I think faith rises up in Job, I would say. Because faith, the Bible says, is the evidence of things hoped for, right? But not quite yet seen. Faith is something that you cannot even comprehend, maybe not even see, but you may see it or will see it. Faith is that trust that in some cases you're kind of stepping out there blindly, right? And so Job is faith. You can see it rising in him because he's seeing that I can put faith in a faithful God. And it's a faith that transcends all circumstances, because I don't know about you, and if you've read the book of Job, I don't know if many of us have been through an ordeal quite like Job. And it's a faith that brought light to darkness, and it's a faith that brought salvation to Job's soul, and it changed him. And you can see it in Job, just in that statement, is it's a faith, right? He sees that I'm giving my faith to this faithful God. You see a new reality in a new way. And actually, if you read the rest of the chapter, you see Job experiencing a new kind of life from what he come out of the ashes. And you see that God's given him a gift, and he appreciates the gift. And God has ultimately given him something to believe in and to trust him, right? An unmovable anchor for Job. And I think that when I look at Job's story, and I look at, maybe something sounds very familiar when we're talking about putting faith in something. And I think about my relationship with Christ. It sounds very familiar. I have a new life. I have a new reality. I put faith in something that's faithful. And I go from darkness to light. And I experience freedom, even sometimes in the midst of circumstantial bondage. And I feel resurrected in a way. And I think that that's what Christ is and came to do. And so Christmas is the time for us to go, all right, I'm going to remind myself that I serve a faithful God who sent his son, delivered on his promises, and then gave that promise to me, light to the Gentiles, and really hope for the nation of Israel. Can you guys bow your heads? I think that the story of Christmas narrative is definitely the story of God's faithfulness. It's definitely a story of God's our hope, and it's definitely a story of love. It's a story that faith promises salvation, and it promises light, and it produces peace. And beyond all circumstances, and it reminds us that God has not forgotten you. And that part of peace is I think, undescribable. And I'm sure you've had someone talk to you and say, I don't know how you're doing this when you're going through this circumstance, but you kind of feel like you're at rest, you're a pendulum at rest. You found yourself balanced in peace through circumstances that people go, you should be way over here, way over here in what you're experiencing and your reaction, but you're going, there's a peace here that surpasses all understanding. And I can't quite describe it all to you, but I can definitely share with you about it. And I think that Christ came and brought that peace in our life and opened the gates and let us free and brought light into our life, showed us how to live. And really, I just maybe have this short little benediction maybe I can leave with you, which is, may you in this Christmas season remember to celebrate the greatest gift the world ever received and the greatest gift that you have ever received. And may you this Christmas season be reminded that you gave, right? You give your faith to a God that didn't give up on you, that didn't abandon you. I don't know your story, but I know a lot of stories. And in the darkest places, in the most hopeless places, and the feeling of like a Gideon, the person with the least amount of power or feeling powerless, God shows up and says, I'm going to work with this. I'm going to do something you can't do. And I think you should share your story as much as you possibly can, because what you're letting people know is that I have a story like this Gideon guy. And I didn't think I could do anything, but God came down and gave me strength, gave me a life I didn't have and couldn't have. I don't know your story, but I've heard a lot of people who will share the depths of the places that there was a hopelessness, but Christ came and did something different and gave you a faith and a hope and something faithful. And may you remember the significance of the day that Jesus came to fulfill his prayer on earth as it is in heaven. And that one prayer is what Jesus was expressing, that the world is going to change and there's a faithfulness that you could put your faith in and you are not forgotten because heaven has come down. And so I just want to encourage you this Christmas, take a moment, reflect, and just think about what God's done in your life and his faithfulness in your life. It's easy to think about what God hasn't done, but we can also ask the questions and maybe remember what he has done and how he has been faithful. Looking through the scriptures and going, there's been lots of up and downs, but that's the reality of life and relationship with God. But he is consistently faithful to his people and he fulfills his promises. And by the fact that you're sitting here is one of his fulfilled promises that you just can't deny. So let's pray. God, we love you and we thank you, God. Thank you as we are going to sing this song, as we're going to celebrate you, and just to remind us of the narrative, God, of Jesus's birth, and thinking about his goodness and what he modeled for us and his ultimate sacrifice for us, is that he was faithful all the way to the cross, in obedience to the cross, in obedience to death, to God's call for us to experience righteousness through his death and resurrection. God, we thank you that we can depend on you and your faithfulness, and we can put our faith and trust in that in this season. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me this last song?